Hey there, and welcome back to the Mini Weekend. I'm your host, Jack. Let's get into it, Mini. First and foremost, it's been a while since we've come at you guys with a drink of sorts. Found this little number in Target, so super excited it's back out. It's the Winter Spiced Cranberry Limited Time Sprite. Limited edition, limited time Sprite, and I gotta say, if you guys are Sprite fans, if you haven't already tried it, you gotta go to, I looked it up, I got it at Target myself, but it sounds like you can get them at Walmart, you can get them at, there's some, what is it? There's, where'd it go? Home Depot's, but primarily those two. And I gotta say, if you go to Target and you frequent Target like I do, it said there was a limited amount. Looking them up on the interweb, it does say they're coming back for the holiday season. So there's a chance they're staying through Christmas, but there's also a chance each store has a limited amount and they're only carrying so much. I personally love it. Long story short, backstory, found these guys probably about 5-6 years ago when I was single living in Chaska, and I was like, oh my gosh, these are awesome. I finished a 12 pack a lot quicker than you should probably finish a 12 pack of anything. Went back to Target, and by the time I went back to Target finishing them, they were gone. Spent a couple of years trying to look for them. Oh, are they going to come back out? Boom. They're coming back. And I got to say, go get them. I personally like it. I don't know why it's called Winter Spiced. There's not very much of a spice to it. And for those that are wondering, the flavoring is pretty subtle. I personally myself love it. My sister-in-law and wife both love Sprite and tried this and they weren't particularly fans. So could go one way or the other, but I'm guessing if you're similar to me, if you like flavored stuff, if you're a Sprite fan, you're probably going to enjoy it. So like I said, go get yourself some before they're out of stock. And if you end up loving them, you're welcome. So, with that Tommytown, the men's hockey team just finished up with a sweep this last weekend against the Northern Michigan Wildcats. And, man, did Captain Lucas Wallen have a week, or a weekend, I should say. The Tommies would score, would go on to win 4-2 Friday night and 6-1 Saturday night, scoring 10 total goals from 6 different skaters, and 13 different skaters actually registered a point. Lucas Wallens ended the weekend with 3 goals and 4 total points. One of his goals came on the shorthanded side of things, and also got a game winner. So, you know, a big weekend for the guys team. Both Aaron Trotter and Jake Seibel picked up a W. So, you know, you really hope after a tough, you know, couple weeks leading up to this series, they can use this momentum going into Bowling Green this upcoming weekend, like Superior, Ferris State. I mean, you know, I see a lot of people have Minnesota State, you know, kind of taking a dip this season. So realistically, you know, despite them being, you know, 4-5-1 in their first 10 games, you know, I think I saw us probably pulling out at least one against Bemidji, you know, hopefully getting that win instead of a tie against Lindenwood. But after going 4-5-1, I mean, like I said, 2 at Bowling Green, 2 at Lake Superior, 2 hosting Lake Superior State, 2 at Ferris State, and then 2 at Minnesota State. That's 8 games, and there's no reason we shouldn't win, you know, 6, you know, to 8 of those games and kind of get things turned around going into kind of the holiday break and things. But yeah, super, super excited for this team. What else did I have for you guys? Sorry. So yeah, like I said, Lucas Wallen had a big week. Both Mac Byers and Luke Manning had 2 goals apiece themselves. Noah Prokop was the other game-winning goal scorer. But yeah, points all around. Ethan Gower picked up 2 assists. Ryan O'Neal picked up 2 assists. James Maroney and Quinton Pepper as well with the 2 assists, guys. So, you know, again, you know, we really talk about and you really think college hockey is a team sport. You know, you love to have the Owen Powers, the, the big names and the big studs and everything like that. But to see everybody kind of contributing, huge, huge plus. So yeah, Bowling Green, like I said, is up next. They will be in Ohio this upcoming weekend, 6:07 on Friday and 6:07 on Saturday as well. As for the women's team, thankfully, before playing the U of M, Ohio State, Wisconsin, and then Minnesota Duluth, they were able to secure, 4 wins in their first 4 games because, gosh, I gotta say these last 8 games for them have been tough. They've been able to keep it close against some of these teams. Unfortunately, they came up short on Minnesota Duluth, getting swept, losing their 7th and 8th game straight. They lost 1-4 Friday night, and then 0-1-3 Friday night, and then 0-4 Saturday night, with Ellie Monreen being the only goal scorer for the Tommies this weekend. And, very similar to the, excuse me, very similar to the men's team. You know, we saw against Franklin Pierce and Lindenwood, when multiple lines, when multiple girls, just like the men's team, were able to kind of get going, that's where they thrived. Not to say that they haven't been able to get going and they haven't been able to get shots and stuff like that, but really being able to get in front of the goal and kind of deflecting some of those shots, getting favorable looks and those kinds of things, It's tough going up against these teams like Wisconsin, Ohio State, Minnesota, because they have the history, and not only do they have the history, but they're also very good. So it's easy for them to get these prospects. But just because you have the best players doesn't mean you have the best team. You still got to gel. Fortunate for the girls team, they got this U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame game coming up here on Thursday, tomorrow. At 7 p.m. at the Maple Grove Ice Arena, which by the men and women standards, Minnesota State, it seems like by a lot of people, will be taking a backseat, which is kind of a nice thing for St. Thomas. So they have a shot against them, and then they will have, then after that, they will have the weekend off before getting ready for a home and home series with St. Cloud State on the 7th and 18th. And it'd be really cool to see them pick up, 2 or 3 wins here, going into their D1 and DC little tournament they got coming up, excuse me, right after Thanksgiving. So that is what we have for the hockey teams. And man, it feels good to say we have all 4 winter sports in action. The men's basketball team opened up against Cal this last Monday and came up short in a very close game. Neither team was able to pull away in the first half, or for most of the game, really, for more than 5 points. Ultimately, it came down to Cal pulling away late in the game and finding the touch when the Tommies just didn't have it. Graduate student Brooks Allen led the way with 17 points. And yeah, again, I don't, I don't hold too much stock into this game. I do believe I gotta check I gotta check my stats here. But yeah, this is the third straight year they lost their home opener or their season opener. But I'll have you guys know, last year they lost their a home opener to a very good Creighton team, still managed to win 19 games and dang near go to the Summit League championship game in excuse me, in so that's a, that's a big deal. You know, they got a couple games coming up here that they should hopefully capitalize on. They got two home games within this next week. On Friday, they will play host to Chicago State at 7 p.m. at Shinnecker Arena, and then on Sunday at 2, they will get a visit from St. Francis Brooklyn. So that is what we have for the men's team. As for the women's team, very similar to the men's team, they took a tough loss the same night as the boys. The women's main issue was that dreaded first quarter. They got outscored 26-8. So, you know, you act like that first quarter didn't happen, and they essentially would have ended up only losing 61 to, what was that, 61-68. So, completely different game. You know, they just didn't have the touch. They shot, 13% from three and 21, 22% from the field. It's a tough go, but again, early in the season, you know, early to kind of, you know, easy to shake off. Got a lot of games coming up here. Joe Langben led the team with 16 points. Jade Hill finished with 10 and 10 to go with six assists. And then coming up for the women's team, they got River Falls at home Saturday at 3 before Utah Valley comes to town on Saturday for a meeting at 2:30 p.m. Excuse me. So now, wow, sound a lot better now. So now for the football team. Unfortunately, I lied to you guys last week. Didn't I don't know what was going on with my mind. Didn't realize there was a gap between the dates on their schedule. This last week, they enjoyed a bye, and they will return to action in a couple days here on November 11th in San Diego for a 3 o'clock Central Time game against the Toreros of San Diego. And again, last week, don't really know what was going on with me, but kind of thought I'd break it down again. So coming into these last 2 weeks, I gotta say, as much as it pains me to admit, the chances of us going is going down as back-to-back Pioneer Football League champs isn't looking great, as both Drake, the one team in the conference that has beat us, and Davidson, who we didn't play this year and won't play this year, are still undefeated and are above us in the conference. The reason I say it's not great is because since Drake beat us, should they lose one of their last two games against Presbyterian, who is 3-6 overall and 1-5 in conference play, and Butler, who's actually 7-3 overall and 5-2 in conference play, could happen. But should they only lose to Butler and they have the one loss, they have the head-to-head tiebreaker. So for us to take over and jump Drake, we would need them to lose the last two games, which they could lose to Butler. Butler's, you know, right up here. I think they're right behind us and fourth in the division. But them trying to lose to Presbyterian or going to lose to Presbyterian is unlikely. The nice thing is I try endlessly looking it up. I don't know what the tiebreaker is, but we could possibly take over Davidson if they were just to lose one of their next two games. Unfortunately, they go to Morehead State this week, who's 3-6 overall, 2-4 in conference play, and then they host Dayton, was 2-7 overall and still has not won a conference game. So the chances of us winning are, I would say, slim to none, because not only do we need to win these next two games against San Diego and Valparaiso, which could very well happen, but we are going to need a lot of help. So not likely, but hey, we're not eligible for postseason play regardless. So, you know, another good season under the belt. But we're going to have to wait and see what these next 2 weeks bring in store for us. It is worth mentioning the last time St. Thomas was out, I was at the game. but they put together one of their most dominant performances this year, closing October with a resounding 49-14 win over Marist to improve to 6-3 overall and 5-1 in conference play. Jumped out to a 21-point lead to nothing in the first quarter and just went on for there. So as for the opposition, it's been more of a disappointing season for the Toreros, who were expected to be one of the top teams in the division this season. But after some offseason turmoil, which saw the departure of longtime head coach Dale Lindsay, San Diego and new head coach Brandon Moore are 3-6 overall and 3-3 in Pioneer Football League play. They've lost 6 of 7 games to open the season, but seem to have found their stride in recent weeks after a close 25-20 loss to Drake in October. San Diego has rattled off 2 consecutive wins, defeating Morehead State and Presbyterian in the last 2 weeks. So, should be a fun game, you know, something we've seen this entire year. If this run game can continue to get going behind, you know, Adebayo, Shipman, Abel, it could be a very long game for the Toreros. But if they can kind of keep us in check, should be a relatively enjoyable, you know, closely fought game. As for the Minnesota football team, there is actually some news to report on for them. So the day after the last podcast, dates were announced for their 2024 football schedule. No times, just dates. But yeah, the Big Ten announced the 2024 football schedule. Minnesota will host Big Ten foes in Iowa, Maryland, Penn State, and the newly added USC. While we will travel to Michigan, Illinois, Rutgers, and Wisconsin, travel to UCLA as well. Our non-conference schedule, which has already been announced, consists of home games against North Carolina, Rhode Island, and Nevada. So with that, this is kind of what the season looks like. They open 4 games at home: August 29th, North Carolina; September 7th, Rhode Island; September 14th, Nevada; and then September 24th, Iowa. Go to Michigan September 28th, October 5th, hosting USC; October 12th, at UCLA; October 26th versus Maryland; November 2nd at Illinois; November 9th at Rutgers; November 23rd versus Penn State; and the 30th, at Wisconsin. So, that is the only news we have, talking about this. Football team is kind of tough to do after this last week. A very, very disappointing 26-27 loss to Illinois, as it was their backup quarterback that came in on that final drive and put them up and got them the win. I gotta say, as many games as I've seen of this team, this had to be one of very few games this year that, watching them, I couldn't help but think, what the hell is this defense doing? They weren't even, I was trying to think, those last couple deep balls, like, even if you're like, hey, we can live if they, want to throw underneath, we just can't let them throw overhead. They weren't even playing anything like that. So super, super upsetting to see. And it puts them really kind of in a tough position, I feel like, now. We're getting ready to go to Purdue this Saturday, and then we go to Ohio, and then we host Wisconsin. And, it really puts the emphasis on, you absolutely need a win in Purdue to secure the, if nothing else, 6-6 record. But I would say you need to beat Purdue and you need to beat Wisconsin to get a decent bowl game. I think I don't think by their standards Wisconsin's having a good year, but Minnesota has proven to us that they can lose to anybody, as they lost to Northwestern, who they should not have lost to, and then Illinois. I mean, you take those two, and all of a sudden, going into the last three games, you're 7-2, which is right where everybody expected them to be. Unfortunately, that's not the case. So it really puts, like I said, the pressure on to beat Purdue, have a close game against Ohio State, and then beat Wisconsin. Because I really do feel like if we are only able to get a 6-6 record this season, they're not going to get a great bowl game. Not that any bowl games are really great outside of the college playoffs. So yeah, that is what we have for Tommy Town for you guys this week. For the local business shout out, I gotta go to them again. They had an unreal drop this last week on Monday. So unreal that I had to get one myself. I got one for my boy, but it's URL. Unreal, guys. If you haven't, you gotta check them out. Rumor has it they have some new stuff dropping next. Not next week. Tomorrow, rather. But if you don't know and you're a Vikings fan, they do these volume drops. So the Monday before six home games, they just did their fifth one. They're sold out now. But you guys, if nothing else, have to go onto their website and look them up. I mean, these sweatshirts, they show you all the sweatshirts they've done so far. They just are so clean. They just look amazing. With how popular they are, I find it hard to believe they're not going to continue them for a couple years, or maybe, they do something, permanent. Unfortunately, for these volume drops, the last one of the year will be December 18th. And that'll be the last one. But yeah, guys, they have a little bit of everything. I know it's kind of an athleisure kind of clothes. So if you're really not into it, I get it. But I promise you, there's something for everybody. They have so many different collaborations. Like I said, the stuff with the Vikings, they got clothes through Folds of Honor, Row the Boat stuff, Barstool Sports, ETS Performance, the Adam Thielen collection, AT collection, Give 16 with Jason Zucker. Within the last couple of weeks, they signed TJ Hawkinson as an ambassador, which, makes me believe at some point they're going to be doing something with him dropping some stuff. They just have so many cool things, guys. The clothes are pretty true to size, comfortable as shit, and I swear by them. So, like I said, go check them out, URL.co, and you can find them on social media at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as well. So, yeah. Some news to report on for the Wild. They made a couple of trades, excuse me, earlier today. One, the first one they did was they sent, excuse me, the Wild sent Kalen Addison to the San Jose Sharks for a prospect forward and Adam Raska and a 2026 fifth round pick. Which, before we get into the second trade, led me to believe one of two things. led me to believe that either, Bill Guerin and these guys have just seen enough of Kalen Addison. He's been playing kind of well lately, so kind of the typical, trade him while he's up, trade him while he's hot. Or we're getting pretty close to getting Goligoski and or Spurgeon back. And they didn't feel like we needed him. And then the second trade happened, which solidified what I thought. The second trade was acquire Zach Bogosian from the Tampa Bay Lightning for a 2025 seventh rounder, which led me to believe that Garen and the front office, we're just done with Kalen Addison. You know, he, as solid as he has looked, he's been a healthy scratch a lot for us these last 2 years. It seems like, you know, he just hasn't been playing up to par, which they want to. I would say our defensive core is pretty solid. We have some pretty good depth. You know, you think about when fully healthy, you know, you got guys like Jared Spurgeon, Alex Goligoski, you got Brodin, you got Faber, you got Mermis, and then you add a guy like Zach Bogosian. It's a good position to be in. Again, you know, it sucks having Jared Spurgeon out, but and veteran Alex Goligoski, which leads me to believe that, you know, hopefully they're on the way back in, but Zach is a big dude, so hopefully he can help beefing up some of this stuff going on. But guys, on a positive note, we've been looking good lately. Now, a lot of people might be saying, well, you know, Jack, it's only been, you know, the last two games. I mean, you're not wrong. But at the same time, in this young season, we haven't strung together two wins back to back yet. So that, you know, it's good to get that monkey off our back too. But, you know, we beat New York. The Rangers, you know, our next opponent coming up tomorrow night here. And if we wouldn't have gotten ourselves in such a, you know, 3-0 hole in the first period, we could have easily beat them. Buffalo, you know, Dallas, I mean, all these teams coming up are, you know, beatable and teams that we should be able to skate with. And again, like I said, I think, you know, it helps when your best player starts to find his groove here. You know, we've been bad with our we've been bad with our wild player of the weeks so far, but we're gonna start it and be better at it this week. And I gotta give it to Kirill Kaprizov. You know, looking up and down the points between from these last three games, between, you know, New Jersey, the Rangers, and the Islanders, there were two players, Zuccarello and Boldy, that actually had 4 points. Boldy didn't score. They were all assists, and Zuccarello had 1 goal and 3 points. But Boldy or Kaprizov had 2 goals, 3 points. Both of them were power play goals. One ended up being a game winner, and it seems like he is kind of finding his groove. You know, by his standards, you know, this you know, by sorry, I don't know why I'm struggling right now. By his standards, he didn't start off the best. You know, 12 games in, yeah, you know, he's got 12 points, but they've been a quiet 12 points. You know, I think getting him going, you know, it's good that, you know, Rossi's been scoring for us, which is awesome. I think trying to get Boldy going here, you know, he's only been back for 5 games and he's got 6 points. But he only has 1 goal, you know, getting him going. You know, there's lots of things to like about this team. You know, the depth, you know, I think when we're adding pressure, when we're playing up to how we play and how good we can be, you know, the sky is the limit. You know, every year, every team ebbs and flows. Teams win games, teams lose games. But I think the bottom line is, sorry, I've been doing a better job of watching games and watching, you know, all the games to completion. And I gotta say, even as much as it pains me to admit it, even those last two games against New Jersey that we lost, we didn't look awful. You know, we had a couple self-induced you know, losses. But you look against these you look in these last 4 games, we've been scoring more power play goals, which is awesome. You know, we still have to tighten up on special teams. We can't be giving up so many power play goals. And when we're given the opportunity, you know, with the likes of Boldy, Rossi stepping up here, Kaprizov, Zuccarello, with all these guys, like, we have to make teams pay when we are given an opportunity to go up a man. So those are just a couple of things. And again, it's early in the season. It's, for Christ's sake, the season started not even a month ago. It's not even Thanksgiving, God forbid, even December yet. So still a lot of hockey to be made, but again, you don't want to look back on, this four-game losing streak, against Philadelphia, Washington, two games that we should have won, and then two against New Jersey and think, Cal, if we could have gotten one or two, that would have meant we could have hosted so-and-so or host so-and-so. You hate to play the shoulda, coulda, woulda game, and I don't like playing the shoulda, coulda, woulda game. But, hopefully they learn from these. Bringing in Zach Bogosian, I think, hopefully helps does bring that, defensive presence, and, teams are hesitant to, skate through him or whatever. So, again, lots of things to like. Everything, as far as I'm concerned, on the up and up for the Wild. So they're only in action three times this upcoming week. Tomorrow night they will be in New York. Their second of a third game, the second of three games in New York, 6 p.m. Friday they will take on the Buffalo Sabres at 6 before coming home for one game against Dallas at 5 p.m. So that is what we have for the Wild. For the Timberwolves, gosh, man, this season is even younger. It's even a younger NBA season than it is an NHL season. But man, if the Timberwolves continue to play the way they have been playing these last four games, including their huge win over the Pelicans tonight, there's no team in the league that they can't beat. You go back to the night of the last podcast. We went wire to wire against the defending champs, gave them their first loss of the season, and then just a couple nights ago against the Boston Celtics, gave them their first loss of the year. That's a team that's got Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, and then obviously laid the hammer down tonight against the New Orleans Pelicans that doesn't have Zion. I don't think Zion could have honestly done much. I think he's going to end up being a bust, truthfully. I really do. I think he's, I, yeah. We don't have to get into that, but I think he's going to be a bust. And then, yeah, we're definitely going to have our work cut out for us. Our first in-season game towards in-season play is in a couple nights at San Antonio at 7 p.m. on Friday, and then we'll play back-to-back games in Golden State Sunday the 12th at 7:30, and then Tuesday the 14th at 9, and then the night of the next podcast, the 15th, will be in Phoenix for game number four of a five-game road trip. So it'll be, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It'll be a tough, three games and four night stretch for us. But hey, again, the fact that we're able to get these couple wins early in the season, especially after starting 1-2, to be able to go 4-0 against some tough teams is awesome. And Edwards is on something. What is it? Even going back to the third game of the season, he's scored at least 30 points in one, two, three of the last five games. No. Yeah, three of the last five games. Dude is on something. Gobert is adding double doubles like it's his job, which it is. Cats, being solid, counted on, when needed. Guys are stepping up, and it's a collective team effort. I can't wait to see how well this team continues to do. And then the only news we have to report on the Timberwolves is, as of what was it, just yesterday, it was announced that Jordan McLaughlin is going to be out with about 4 weeks with a sprained MCL in his right knee during Monday's victory against the Celtics. It sounds like he experienced some soreness in his knee during the third quarter of the win. He had an MRI yesterday that revealed the sprain. So he'll be out for at least 4 weeks. He'll be reevaluated then. But should be, should be business as usual, and hey, next man up mentality. All right. Vikings and NFL, last topic of discussion for the night. Good news for the Vikings. Earlier today it was announced that they are going to what's it called? As of today, he has a 21-day window that he's returning to practice, and with this happening, he's got a 21-day window for the Vikings to officially activate him to the active roster before he has to go back to the IR for something like that back there. None of this comes as a surprise to me. I figured we were going to be without him for 4 weeks. That's what happens when you go on the IR. I figured we would get him off the IR right away. He wouldn't play right away. And truthfully, taking a look at our schedule. Excuse me. Taking a look at our schedule, I don't think we need him. Like, the Saints, with how our guys played last week, Addison's been playing great. Powell's been stepping up. Hockenson, believe it or not, has actually been catching balls. And we've been looking decent without him. I would say we have the capabilities of beating the Saints, the Broncos, and Bears without him. If he can be 100% ready to go for Raiders, Bengals, and two big games against the Lions, I would take it. I would obviously, take him as soon as possible. But hearing JJ doesn't want to personally come back until he's 100% ready does not surprise me one bit. That wouldn't surprise me one bit too. I think he is super happy to see us being able to win without him, which takes the pressure off him to come back right away, which is nice. So yeah, unfortunately, Cam Akers, got, season-ending Achilles injury this last game as well, which leads me to believe within the next week or so, we're probably going to add another veteran, a running back, to the running back room. But yeah, so I thought we would just jump right into it. So week 10, our lock for this week, I gotta say, I don't think there's a better one to take. It's got to be the Dallas Cowboys, who are 15.5-point favorites over the Giants. Look, the Giants have lost not only Daniel Jones, but also Tyrod Taylor at the quarterback position, leaving them with Tommy DeVito and Matt Barkley. Truthfully, that doesn't feel good at all. Even if you're not a Giants fan, you can't help but cringe at those names. And they're going up against as much as I hate to admit it, a red-hot Dak Prescott, and a defense and special teams that beat them 40-0 in the first meeting in New York in week one. With that said, Dallas has a lot of pent-up aggression, and I believe they're going to take it out against their disappointment in Philadelphia by ripping it into another much weaker NFC East rival at home. I would be surprised if this wasn't a 20-point game. I got Dallas winning this game 34-13. And truthfully, my upset for this week has to be us. If you didn't know this, even though this is a home game, we are 2.5-point underdogs to what I consider a not-so-good Saints team that is a not-so-good team leading a not-so-good division. Look, Josh Dobbs saved our season last week, and we sit at 5-4, and we're very much in the NFC wildcard thick of things, and within two games of the Lions for the North still, after recovering from a 0-3 start, also at 5-4, New Orleans is back in control of a weak NFC South, like I mentioned. I think These teams are kind of even. I think the Vikings defense has been, both defenses have been playing better recently. I think our defense probably has a little bit of an edge, just with, how, the better teams we've been playing. I think the Saints defense has a couple holes that if we expose them, could really benefit us, especially versus mobile QBs, and Dobbs is that. Adding to the effect, I think Derek Carr is going to get roughed up on the road. I got us winning yet another close one. I think it's going to be 34 to 30. Now, you guys might be thinking, well, what about our parlay? Don't worry, I got you guys covered. The only other upset I like this week are the Patriots at 1.5 point underdogs over the Colts in London. This has really been a nightmare season for Bill Belichick's Patriots. Their offense is scoring the second fewest points per game in the league. The offense, I think, has a good matchup against the Colts, though, who are allowing the fourth most points per game. If Mac Jones is going to take a step forward, it's going to be this week. The Colts are also surprisingly seventh in points per game. But I think the Patriots continue to play without a fear of their most impactful defenders. That said, I think Gardner Minshew has never faced the Patriots before, and I think that's going to give him trouble. Belichick will continue to create strategic advantages on the defense. And I think the Patriots are going to win 23 to 20. So, before we get into it, I will give you guys my other two locks that I like for the week. Excuse me. My other locks I like for the week, 49ers over the Jags. I think neither Shanahan or Peterson have great track records after buys, but I think San Francisco is going cross country here, and its running game will make it to Jacksonville versus a tough run defense. I think Brock Purdy is going to be sharper from the time off too, with better, healthy players around him. Look for the 49ers pass rush to rev up even more and do enough for Purdy to outduel Lawrence on the road. I got the 49ers winning 27 to 24. And then the other one I like is the Steelers over the Packers. The Steelers defense, I think, will be licking its beautiful chops for a limited Packers offense with Jordan Love still fighting through it. Wisconsin native TJ Watt will be ready to tear Green Bay's offensive line. And on the other side, Pittsburgh's run blocking should come through in a fine spot to keep both Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren hot. I think with that, Kenny Pickett won't need late QB heroics in this one. All right, guys. So with that, with that, I will let you guys know if you place a three-game parlay against the spread at the Vikings at 2.5 points, Dallas at -15.5, and New England at +1.5. Placing a $100 bet, you would win $554.35, $10 to win $55.43, and $1 to win $5.54. Now, before I let you guys go, yes, I did see the news. I can't remember if it was earlier today or if it was yesterday, but I did see that Jaren Hall did get off of the concussion list. And I know I've already been talking to you guys Dobbs is going to play. But a lot of you reached out saying, hey, with Jaren Hall off of the, off of the concussion protocol, what are your thoughts? Well, if he's off protocol, well, the first thing I would say, I don't think he's completely 100% healthy. It just means he's healthy enough to not be under protocol anymore, for one thing. Two, It kind of depends. Again, it's tough doing a Wednesday podcast for games that are being played on Sunday. But I think, you give Dobbs a start this week, and then maybe next week against the Denver Broncos, based off of everything, you take a look at it. I'm hesitant to bring this high of Dobbs down while at the same time feeling like a guy like Jaren Hall shouldn't be not given an opportunity to start because he got injured. Luckily for us, we have a couple easy games to work with here. And a lot of people think that the Saints team is better than it is. Look, I want to tell you guys something. Even though they're 5-4, this is their track record. They lost to Green Bay, who's a crappy team. They lost to Tampa. They lost to Jackson. They lost to Green Bay and Houston. Okay? Those are crappy teams. Teams they've beaten: Carolina, who hasn't won a game yet. Tennessee, who's not great this year by their standards. They shut out the New England Patriots, who are god awful. They're not doing well. And then they beat Chicago, who's awful, and they beat Indianapolis. So I like us in this game, even though we're without Kirk, simply from the fact that we have a better track record. I think we've beaten better teams. I think we've played better teams. I think even teams that we've lost to, we have played them closer than I think New Orleans has or would. So I'm feeling good about this game, and I think a lot of people should. So with that, I will leave you guys with, remember, this podcast is about you guys, the listeners. If you have a topic you want me to address or a question you want me to answer, please reach out on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, or by emailing us. Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram handles are at miniweekend, and email is miniweekend@gmail.com. That's MINNYWEEKEND at gmail.com. And be sure to let us know if you'd like to stay anonymous with your questions as well. Also, find us and give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter, where there are giveaways and you can stay up to date on all things Mini Weekend. And lastly, make sure you hit that subscribe button to get notified of the new episode as soon as it comes out. Till next time, Mini.